This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Sensible Portions. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws are deliciously crunchy, a better-for-you snack that the whole family is going to love. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a flavor for every taste, like fiery, spicy, screaming hot, whoa, or tangy, zesty ranch. And they've just launched two new flavors, barbecue and sour cream and onion. Sensible Portions garden veggie straws have a light and airy texture, and get this, they have 30% less fat than leading potato chips, so you can snack both sensible and delicious. It's a perfect on-the-go snack for kids to take back to school. And Sensible Portions has also come out with a new product, Sensible Portions Garden Veggie Puffs, which are baked and never fried. It's a perfect poppable snack, and it comes in three delicious flavors: white cheddar, sour cream and onion, and screaming hot. Ah, no artificial preservatives, flavors, or colors. That's Sensible Portions. So head on over to amazon.com/sensible portions to try Sensible Portions garden veggie straws and new garden veggie puffs. That's amazon.com/sensible portions.
The smartest guys around, we're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls.
That's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here after episode number 5 of Survivor 41. A very interesting tribal council. Three people voting at one another for the first time, maybe since Survivor Philippines. We'll talk about it here tonight, of course, with my great friend, the knowingest know-it-all, Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Rob, happy birthday. The
Thank
big
you.
News of the hour is it's Rob Sesternino's birthday today.
Yeah.
And you're just happy to be here to celebrate you.
Yes.
Doing what we love.
What a great way to celebrate the birthday. Of course, Stephen, a little bit of a statistical anomaly. I think this is the first time. We've been doing the Survivor Know-It-All since 2012. Next year will be 10 years of the Survivor Know-It-Alls. We have never done the Survivor Know-It-Alls on my birthday.
Wow, how is that possible?
That I guess leap year. We leapt the Wednesday.
That's where they get you, the leap years.
Yeah. So this is the first time ever on October 20th. Here we are doing Survivor Know-It-All. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, family is done thinking of stuff to do with me. So now it's we'll have a special Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yeah, every Survivor Know-It-All is special.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I got a ton of amazing messages today. I was really just blown away by all the very nice, thoughtful messages that I got from people. So just want to say I really appreciate that. It made a very special day. Had a nice time with the family this afternoon. But now got to get down to business, Stephen. We have a lot to talk about here from this episode of Survivor. Although a couple of things up top. Going to speak with Jeannie tomorrow, have an exit interview planned, so be on the lookout for that. We'll see what Jeannie thought about all of this, and we'll have a great podcast coming up on Thursday. Davey Rickenbacker will join me.
Oh, nice. Great.
Great guest.
Great kids.
Yes. Plus, we'll be talking with J.E. Skeets from No Dunks and also the new Survivor podcast, No Buffs, this week. And Haley Strong on our feedback show. So jam-packed week coming up. And, of course, our patron feedback show coming up on Monday. Nigel and Kevin will join us at 7 p.m. Eastern to take your calls for the patrons as well. And also, Stephen, the big news this week, the Wand Off is back this week.
Wasn't that news last week?
This week is coming. We mentioned, we said, hey, get ready. Get ready. Next week is Wandoff week. We're going to do it at the end of the month. Over under on Christina Aguilera entries might be 17 and a half. get ready for the Wandoff coming back this week. We need those entries in by Friday night. Get to work. Okay, people. All right. It doesn't just have to be about this week. You have the whole month of Survivor to go back to. And then just a serious note before we get into all of the Survivor shenanigans. I'm sure a lot of our listeners already heard this, but you know, we do have a portion of the audience that isn't really on social media, but there was some it's very sad news this week about Survivor Fiji contestant Michelle Yee, who was the victim of an attack this past week that she had been stabbed. She is expected to recover, but there was a woman who seemed to be of questionable mental health who had been attacking a couple of other individuals. And Michelle, I think, was just on her way to a yoga class and she was attacked, had to go to the hospital. Really, really terrible news. She's expected to make a full recovery, but I just wanted to pass that along and just also send our thoughts, some positive energy out to Michelle Yee and her family, and hope for a very speedy recovery for Michelle.
Yeah, we're all thinking of you, Michelle. And it was just absolutely horrible. Those pictures of Michelle were horrific, and just great to hear that she is expected to make a full recovery.
Okay. All right, Stephen. Let's talk some Survivor here tonight. We really went through a lot of strategic maneuvering to vote out Jeannie tonight.
I saw someone on Twitter comment that, and I was like, that's a really great point. Like, so much scheming for, like, just the most layout, like, so much, like, strategic firepower, applied. It was like killing a mosquito with a bazooka.
Yeah. So, Stephen, at any point, did you think that Shan was going to fire at Ricard, or vice versa, that Ricard was going to fire at Shan?
No. But I really want to applaud Jeff, who in that tribal council, you know, really made the most of what was pretty much a layup. You know, I mean, this was a really classic Survivor episode in the tradition of those episodes where everyone knows who's going home. There's no ambiguity. And the show needs to make it seem like there's a slight ambiguity. And they did a good job. You know, they did like enough that it was very fun to watch. And the music was so intense during Tribal Council, just given how extremely straightforward it was.
Yeah.
Shantham, my heart was pounding with like the
what's the blood pressure, Stephen? What's the blood pressure? Tell us right now.
So yeah, Jeff was really working to draw something out of this little group.
Here's my question for you. And I feel like that you do so. I feel like that the edit tricks me all the time. And I feel like that you are able to see through it so much better than I'm able to. So how much was it a real thing that do you think that Shan and Ricard had like one sort of tense conversation and then worked it all out? Or do you think that there was like a more fire than just smoke?
I thought one tense conversation, which was really an interesting conversation. I mean, Gary, my lazy cat, tweeted at me, you know, is this like, how often do you have conversations? Mr. My Lazy Cat.
Yeah.
You know, how often are there these types of conversations where two sides are just intractable? And I don't think it's that often. You know, I have had, I can only think of a handful that I had in my time where the two people come, they disagree heatedly, and there's no resolution, mm-hmm. you know, and it was a really interesting conversation. I hope we talk about it more about it more later. I was talking about it, this tribal though with Dalton, and he thought that this was a miss. He thought that maybe for Shan, and I don't know if he also meant for Ricard, that they should, and I don't know if he's, you know, will have revised his opinion by the time his recap goes up. So I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but he thought that the move here is to keep Jeannie, because if you're Shan, you know that Ricard knows he can't beat you and therefore has to cut you. So you're keeping someone in the game who is going to end up backstabbing you or trying to backstab you eventually. My perspective was no, like you need someone you can work with. You need someone you can play with. It seems they have a great dynamic. You know, from Ricard's perspective, he's the guy who's coming up with all these ideas. And then Shan is the one who's actually able to implement them. I was in a very similar relationship. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're Shan, you want to keep Ricard, right? But I don't know. What do you think of Dalton's idea? Like, you want Jeannie because there's no worry about Jeannie stabbing you in the back later on.
You know, the question is going to be, what does Shan know that, you know, Ricard, I've heard him say at least twice in this episode about being concerned that Shan is making the moves and he's not getting the credit. And he does not seem like the type of player who is just going to sit on that information, because I think at some point Ricard is going to make a move against Shan. Jeannie, on the other hand, seems like the type of player who will never make a move against Shan. She seems like the type of person who's ready to go to the end with Shan. And I think that what's interesting is we heard a lot of Shan talk about Liana on Shipwheel Island. What we didn't really get to hear too much of what Liana told Shan. And I do wonder if, you know, Liana and Shan, you know, they had this, you know, really nice connection, but we didn't really get to hear too much of what Liana told her. I wonder, like, could Liana have told Shan, like, hey, by the way, I'm working with Evie, I'm working with Tiffany, and we've got this thing going with, it's going to be the women of Yasa. There's a place for you here with us. I don't know if Liana gave that information up, but it seems like that might be another reason to take Jeannie with you, because now you are even more valuable to potentially pair up with Yasa.
Right. I mean, and I like, though, that, I think, well, Shan's observation that Jeannie is too honest and that's not really someone you want to play with, I think was a good one. You know, you don't want to play with someone who's going to be straightforward. And I really think it's so useful. And, you know, Shan and Ricard have this great strategic back and forth where they're bouncing ideas off each other. They're coming up with plans. I mean, Ricard came up with sort of the plan for Shan to pretend that she was super nervous with JD to get the extra vote.
Yep.
And Shan implemented it.
And Ricard came up with the fake idol.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Ricard also.
Yeah. And then she's the front man and he is the, I guess the, not
bass
the,
guitarist
the brands bass. Yeah. The bass guitarist. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steven, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of, the advantage that has been passed around and boy, this advantage has been, you know, passed all over this tribe. Now, am I remembering this correctly? So in Survivor Token Chains, the Exile Alliance, ends up with, sourcing the idol over at your tribe. And there's some question over who is going to hold the idol at any point. Is there any, is that a thing that happened in Survivor Token Chains of like,
Yeah. And it truly, it is possession is ownership, because I mean, at least, so I don't know if that's the case here. We saw, obviously, famously in Game Changers, there was the non-transferable codicil on the Legacy Advantage. Was it the Legacy Advantage?
Yeah.
But for the idol, at least, you cannot take the idol unless you have the Knowledge as Power Advantage. But you could not take the idol, but you could be given the idol.
Yes.
And whoever held it. So, for example, this is really trivia, but like, there was one point where Taj took the idol from me and she could not have played it. You know, I could have like objected to her playing it and like gotten it back from her. You know, I could have like called like rules or whatever on her.
Mom!
Yeah.
So was there ever any conversation between the allies of who is going to be the person to hold the idol, or it was just that in that case it was yours and you could put it in your bag, but it's still mine?
I was the only person who had pockets, so I got to hold the idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's interesting that I am very curious as to why Shan gave the extra vote to Ricard when she did. It seemed like, I don't know, maybe like, was there some concern that then you have to hold my extra vote, because if I open the Beware Advantage, now I won't be able to vote? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think that is a thing. I mean, if she opens the Beware Advantage and does not have the vote, she can't play her extra vote. Now,
see, that's not that wasn't my understanding when I talked to Brad, where he had had told me in his exit interview, which may or may not be canon, that he would have been able to give his extra vote to Jeannie, even though he wasn't allowed to vote. So I don't know.
Right. I think that's right. My guess is that he could still give it away, or that Shan could still give it away. But maybe they were just being, you know, super cautious. You always want to play. Maybe they hadn't clarified it with the producers, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe they just wanted to play the most cautious way. And too, Shan was about to, you know, potentially get this idol. And maybe she thought that it would, you know, mollify, like smooth things over with Ricard, that it was her who's getting the idol. And then, you know, she was, you know, symbolically giving him a lot of power too.
Steven, do you feel like that Ricard pushed too hard in this episode? One, he, you know, wouldn't give the extra vote back. And this is like sort of like the opposite of what was going on last week, where it was JD's extra vote when and Shan asked for it a second time. In this case, this was Shan's vote. And she is saying, give it back to me. And Ricard's saying, no, I'll give it back to you tomorrow. Did he put up too much of a fight to create a wedge potentially between him and Shan?
Yeah, it's so interesting that you see it that way. I really thought Shan was being kind of unreasonable here. You know, Ricard said, you know, Shan was putting on the exact same performance that she had put on with JD when she was trying to deceive him into getting the extra vote that so she could then vote him out. Now, Shan also has the idol, right? She now, which is largely thanks to Ricard. You know, Ricard didn't say, hey, I want to be the one to hold the idol. I think Ricard is being very generous in that relationship in terms of like letting her kind of take the lead on all these things, letting her be the one to get the idol, letting her be the one to, you know, meanwhile, he's kind of orchestrating all these phrases. You know, Ricard was the one who said to Jeannie, hey, why don't we do this, try this thing out where Shan's going to say, you know, this phrase and just see what happens. So for him to want to hold like one of the magic items in this, you know, to show that he has at least some kind of parity in this strategic alliance, I think is a really low bar. And the fact that Shan was so skeptical about it, you know, that would give me some red flags too.
Hmm. Yeah, I just wonder if it's the kind of thing that it could potentially open up some sort of a little bit of a crack that could turn into, you know, a bigger fault line down the road. And I know that, you know, JD gave her the extra vote and then got voted out. I don't know if I would have put up as much of a fight over it.
But why are we blaming Ricard and not Shan? Like, why was Shan putting up such a, you know, I feel like the story we are seeing mm-hmm. is so much from Shan's perspective
yeah.
that we're constantly thinking of her as like the main character of this season. But, you know, from Ricard's perspective, Ricard is the main character of this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I think that from the perspective of that, you know, we're seeing it from Shan where, you know, Jeannie is saying that Ricard is saying all of, you know, all of these things about, and I guess it's harder for her to be able to tell, like, was this theater or, you know, is this potentially for real?
Yeah, but Jeannie's voting for Ricard. Obviously, Shan is conspiring with Jeannie to vote for Ricard too, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone is conspiring with Jeannie to vote for the other person.
Mm-hmm. Going back to then that conversation, when Ricard says to her, hey, if you don't feel good, play your idol tonight. You know, I felt like that was like, okay, that this seems like that there is like a real like difference of opinion here that could potentially like be a harbinger of hard times between Shan and Ricard.
Yeah, I mean, I really, like I said, I really respected Ricard for standing up for himself in that situation and not just handing it over just because Shan was asking for it. I do think it's so hard when you're in a position where someone is saying like, hey, do this thing for me, and you're an ally and you don't want to, you know, make that person mad, then, you know, you try to do that thing. And Ricard is in the, you know, Ricard knows that Jeannie's probably voting for him, right? Ricard has to know, you know, that, you know, Jeannie's voted for him before. Why wouldn't she vote for him now? So there is a little bit, you know, Shan does have the power in this situation. So to your mm-hmm. point, like, is Ricard pushing back too much? Maybe a little bit, but also, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was, you know, a fair point for him. Like, why do you get all of the power? Why are you the boss? You know, why can I not have like one of the magic items in this relationship? And especially when he literally just saw Shan do the exact same thing to JD, you know, probably the day previous or day 10 here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Twitter exploded at that. Like, who would have thought we would have made it to day 10 on Survivor?
Yeah. I mean, you're almost like 40% of the way there. Yeah. Yeah. Steven, I will talk about Shipwheel Island and how I feel like that this was another bust in terms of the prisoner's dilemma. But I felt like that we did get a interesting prisoner's dilemma here in this episode with Shan and Ricard, where I feel like that they both had a thing, and they both could have fired their thing to potentially try to get the other person out of the game. And so both of them could have basically sold the other one out, and potentially that if they work together, they both get to move on and keep their thing. And in this prisoner's dilemma, we saw that both of them decided to protect their vote and then just do the easy vote and take out Jeannie, which I thought it really was. Again, I don't know how real it was, but I did think that it was really a compelling final act of the show.
Yeah. And I love Shan's speech too, which was at Tribal Council, where about the shot in the dark, where she seemed to be speaking so generally, but she was obviously speaking explicitly to Jeannie, where she was saying, you know, we could play the shot in the dark, but this is a Tribal Council about trust, and the vote is the most important thing. And the most important thing is that I trust the person I'm going to work with going forward. And if that person were to play their shot in the dark, could I ever really trust them again? You know, it was such it wasn't directed at Jeannie, but clearly that was who it was subtextually for. And I thought it was such a fun, cool thing. Like Jeff Probst always, Jeff Probst always says that the best players are the ones who could seem to be, answering his questions, but actually giving, information to the other players at Tribal Council. And I really thought she finessed that very well. Yeah, it was a really fun episode. Other than the abomination of the advantage.
Okay, we'll get there. As for Jeannie, did you feel like that we really got to know Jeannie?
I thought we got a little bit, but you're right. We probably didn't get as much of her as we have, a bunch of the other players who have already been eliminated. Yeah, I mean, we got, a little bit of personal backstory. We got her her montage.
Very early on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think, though, did you think that if you're in that situation, you're, Rob Chanternino, are you voting at Ricard or are you voting at Jeannie in that situation?
I think that I would probably wanting to be voting out Jeannie. I mean, it's hard because I don't necessarily know what her conversation was with Liana, where, how good does she feel about potentially getting something else going. But I mean, I think that I would probably try to, keep it working with Ricard. I feel like it would be, kind of early in the game for me to take out my supposed number one ally.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they just work so well together. And I think going into the merge, you really need someone who you can trust to work things and then come back. And, and Jeannie's not going to be out there, scrambling on the beach trying to cobble together an alliance in the way that Ricard is.
Mm-hmm. But moving forward, I think that maybe the best days of Ricard and Shan working together might be behind us.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I mean, they're definitely not going all the way to the end because, as you've suggested, Ricard knows very much that he needs to separate himself. And even this episode, as you mentioned, he kept on saying, "I'm the one coming up with all these great ideas. Like, they're my ideas." And Shan is executing them. And that's good for her. But he really seems to be acutely aware of this need to kind of burnish his resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I thought it was odd that Shan even said to Liana, "Hey, if anything happens to me, don't trust Ricard. He is, that's my number one ally. If anything happens to me, he turned on me." So I just thought that was an interesting thing that was said. So we'll see what's going to happen next. Steven, do you have any sort of an idea? I know that the previews can be misleading, but they talk about something that's never happened before. We're going to drop your buffs. They say, "Are we merged?" Jeff's like, "Not really."
Do you think it's one big tribe? I mean, I guess I'm sorry, one one beach, three tribes, one beach, two tribes. They've done that before, but maybe the people who make the promos don't know that.
It's possible that you think that. Well, I had been theorizing that when we got down to 12, we would go to two tribes of six again. Is it possible two tribes of six living on one beach?
Yeah, I think that's very possible.
Okay. That's all working theory.
I love the, especially now with all the idol mayhem, I think it's going to be very, very fun. Hey, I've got a question for you. So I saw on, we'll talk about it actually later when we get to the advantage. Okay.
Hey, let's talk about the advantage. I know you want to talk about the advantage.
Rob, I hated the advantage.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I hated the advantage.
You were not alone. Twitter, yeah. You know, spoke actually. Can we put that up? I know we got a lot going on the RJP Instagram page, but let's see. That is it too late to do a poll of what do you think of the new advantage on Survivor? The knowledge is power. Steven, you love knowledge. You love power.
Yeah, good branding, terrible advantage. Should we talk through it? So where do we want to begin?
Yeah, so I guess let's just then discuss the Shipwheel Island. And, of course, Shan and Liana go there, and they seem to bond instantly. Like, I wonder, like, that there must have been, like, some good vibes between the two of them from pregame or from Ponderosa, where they get there and they have, like, they are able to bond instantly. Hey, you know, we're both women of color. That this is great. You know, and they just hit it off spectacularly. Particularly, where Shan is seemingly ready to, you know, like, I got your back. And I just thought that it was a really good spot for Liana, because Shan has, like, you know, is kind of like has her back against the wall. But for Liana, where, you know, she is in this three with Evie and with Tiffany. And I think that Liana is wondering about her positioning there. And I think that, you know, she could have some, like, some good questions of, like, where's Evie's, like, real loyalties at? Where, for Liana, if she could bring Shan into the fold, like, that's somebody where she has the tightest connection to Shan so far. And I think that that would be a really powerful thing for Liana if they could end up all together on a tribe.
Can I just say that tribe, Yasa, right?
Yasa, yeah.
Is a really, like, just the dynamics of that tribe are really, really fun.
Yeah.
You know, where you have Liana and Tiffany are a tight pair, but, you know, Evie thinks that Liana, Tiffany, and herself are a tight pair. But, you know, and Xander thinks that it's Evie and Xander, and, you know, but and Tiffany, not, but then Xander wants to bring Tiffany in, but yeah. Tiffany hates Xander. There's just so many little
Tiffany's crossways. Really come into her own as a character, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Tiffany's great. That scene between Tiffany and Xander, where Tiffany is totally not buying it and, like, just kind of playing along and then, like, giving the react to the camera with yeah. the huge eye roll.
The Jim Halpert, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's been interesting. And we'll see. You know, that tribe went to the first couple of tribal councils, and then we haven't seen them back there. So we'll have to see what shakes out with the swaps. Okay, so Shipwheel Island, I felt like was, you know, another bust, similar to when we saw Evie and Deshaun go there. And it's just basically like somebody's just like, you know, basically like, okay, I forfeit. You take the advantage. And so we saw Liana got a advantage. And when Liana got back to camp, we learned about the knowledge is power, where a Survivor player who holds the knowledge is power advantage can ask one of two questions to another player at Tribal Council. Do you have an idol? Or do you have an advantage? The person that is asked the question cannot lie. And if the answer is correct, they must forfeit said idol or advantage to the other person. Now, Steven, this is like very like ticky-tack also. Like if you have an idol and I ask you, Steven, do you have an advantage? It's like, no, go fish.
Oh, is that right? I missed that aspect.
When I watched this, I wanted to make sure I had this, that the contestant gets to ask one of two questions. Do you have an idol or do you have an advantage? I think if you ask them if they have an idol and they have an advantage, like, no, I don't have an idol.
And you have, this has to be at Tribal Council and it has to be before the votes are read. Those are the other two qualifiers, which makes it slightly less terrible. But overall, I loathe it. And here's why. The idea that a player is not allowed to lie, I think, runs so contrary to the fundamental premise of the whole series, which is, you know, there are these people living together on this island and they are doing whatever they can and they're lying, deceiving, backstabbing. But like, why can't they lie? Who says they can't lie? Like, what is stopping them from lying? Just this little like piece of parchment that says, no, you can't lie. You know, it is truly like a rule from a board game. It is a stupid card in a board game. Yeah. I mean, or go fish, you know, where you're like, In Survivor, people can lie. They can deceive. They can hide their things. They can trick you. The idea that you're like taking away a person's agency to lie seems really, yeah. really, really corny to me.
Yeah, I agree that I saw this on Twitter, and I don't have the person's name in front of me who suggested this, that like, could the role be, or could the power be sort of like the role of like the detective in Mafia, where you can go to like ask a question, like to write a question on paper of, does so-and-so have an idol? Does so-and-so have an advantage? And you would get the answer back, right. Yes or no, but you would not then get possession of said idol or advantage.
And I thought there was a way, I mean, with even like a small, like I had proposed a change where this would give you the power to like steal the object, which I think would be okay. Like if you could like get into someone's bag, like, you know, they were like, they were on the, on Yasa, you could replace an idol or an advantage with this thing, you know, with the knowledge is power advantage, and just like slip it in and take your loot. And then the next time the person went to look for their item, they would see that they had been, you know, bamboozled. Mm-hmm. And I think that that could be a cool way to theme a very similar advantage. It wasn't like you can't lie. Like, what do you mean you can't? I just find that so contrary to, It's like Redemption Island, like getting voted out and then not being voted out. Like the idea that you would be on Survivor and would like have to tell the truth, mm-hmm. to me, just like I have so much resistance to that.
So that's your biggest problem with this, that you have to tell the truth.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. The other problem, obviously, is when this is being rolled out and at which point in the season, right? Where basically everyone on all three tribes knows about these idols, right? Where like, mm-hmm. maybe not everyone. And I saw someone on Twitter suggesting that in a lot of the exit interviews up to this point, people have said that it was not as transparent who had which idols, but it sure seems like a lot of people across the three tribes know who has.
Oh, everybody's going to know after this.
Well, right. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, so, you know, it's not arbitrary when this thing is being rolled out, you know, like now everybody knows and it's not that hard, right, to play. It's not that hard to steal the idol because you know who has them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is an extra vote that counts as an advantage?
Yeah.
Okay. So like we have a lot of the extra votes floating around. So I feel like that there's probably a pretty good chance to just ask somebody, do you have an advantage? And at least they have an extra vote.
Yeah. But I mean, the idol thing, I mean, you know, it's so like, you know, Eric Laval tweeted, is this better or worse than the idol nullifier? I think it's like dramatically worse because the idol nullifier, like you have to take the wager right before the votes. You're nullifying an idol that you think is going to be played. You don't know if it's going to be played and you're playing the nullifier without even knowing if the idol has been played.
It's very powerful.
You're like completely, you know, killing someone. They go into tribal council. They got their idol. They got their game plan. You're not only taking away their idol, you know, you're destroying their game. I mean, mm-hmm. and maybe that's good at TV in some respects, but I don't know. Like the idea, like, I don't know. You can't lie. It just seems so corny to me. You know, it's mm-hmm. It's like the worst instincts of like the new version of Survivor of this, like sort of like cheesiness.
Is it fun? You know, that,
No, it's not. I mean, it's like fun, like playing a board game. No, I like to play board games. I love board games. It's like fun, like a board game is fun.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting because the closest thing that we had to this is sort of like the reward steal that we had in Millennials versus Gen X. And, you know, I think Adam was hesitant to use it because I don't want to make people mad by stealing their reward. It was like a big thing. So it's almost like if you were going to steal somebody's idol or advantage, you got to take the shot that night.
Well, yeah, presumably you're stealing it like right when someone is about to be voted off, right? You do it, you know, to Xander while you are planning to vote out Xander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like move.
Poor Xander, who has had this like his vote, you know, totally invalidated for the whole game. Like, has to like make a fool of himself at all these challenges with the butterflies, and then finally, you know, gets his vote, gets his idol, he's paid his dues, and he's about to get it, you know, snatched away by this like superpower that descended on high.
Mm-hmm. All right.
From on high.
Up on our Instagram page at RHAP Grams. We have the poll up. We'll get you some results. So weigh in on our Instagram and let us know if you like the new Knowledge is Power advantage.
Wait, Rob, but I feel like you have not. And if you like it, I will think less of you, but I won't be vocal about how much less of you I think.
I mean, I was not in an uproar over it as I watched the episode. Like I looked on Twitter. I'm like, wow, everybody really hates this thing. But it did not cause like a visceral reaction in me. I'm sort of a little bit more wait and see and let's see how it goes. I agree with everything that you're saying, that it is very cheesy and corny to say like, you can't lie. You have to tell the truth on this one. And I mean, like, could we have like now like the lie detector advantage of now you can ask any question to a person where they have to tell the truth.
Exactly. Who are you planning to vote for tonight? Yeah. Got the lie detector.
Steven, you know? What's your real occupation?
Yeah, I think you're exactly nailing what my frustration with it is that so much of Survivor is about deceit and creating false personas and like hiding your advantages, like achieving these secret suit, like these secret powers and like deploying them. Like you can't lie. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Steven, well, let's talk about the way that we have our idols now active in the game, because this was a great moment in the episode where we had to start things off, and we've talked about this a little bit, the Shannon Ricard going to Jeannie found the Beware advantage. They tell Jeannie, okay, let's not open it. And then when Jeannie's around, let's open it. And they go ahead, and then Ricard has the great idea of let's replace it with a fake idol. And then they grab it, and then they say, all right, we'll just tell Jeannie we're going to say the thing just to see what's going on. We'll mess with them. It'll be great.
That was very funny. I mean, that was a very funny, like, double fake out.
Yes. And then Ricard is the one who's like setting the tone and trying to like give the, you know, set up for Shan. Of about how, you know, she thinks everything, this one, she's thinking everything is food. She ends up saying the broccoli thing. And then I thought Ricard also had a good assist to set up Xander. I mean, this guy, he was like talking about like ladybugs or something to set up Xander. Well, actually, what I said was that I believe my butterflies are dead relatives. Like, oh, yeah, that was it. And then Nasir jumps in. And this was so well done. I mean,
so well done.
Yeah. Cue the mysterious ways, because what a reveal for Nasir.
Yeah, it was so, I honestly, like, as bad as the advantage was, I thought this was like equally good. Like, it was that good. You know, there have been a few flashbacks over the last couple of seasons. You know, I think the first like big one was in David versus Goliath when Dan had his, right? Was that like that was like the first, like,
I think that was the first time they did that out of order. And you know, those were like minor ones. This one was, you know, amazing.
The best flashback by far, and just so well done, because they also laid the groundwork that Blue didn't have it yet, you know? And they showed Nasir, and he was talking to Danny and Deshaun, and they told the other tribes, and we're like, we don't think Blue has it yet. And, you know, then they go through the rigmarole of tribal council, and there's like a pause, and we're like, and just like, okay, moving on. And then boom.
Yeah. And Nasir has got to be such a huge fan favorite at this point, because he's been so wonderful and earnest. And, you know, he told the story about how his daughter was hiding the immunity idols in his backyard. So much to love about Nasir. And then he's just like also the perfect person to say, you know, I'm just as confused as a goat on AstroTurf. Like, nobody would think that was like a weird thing for him to say. That being said, Steven, Deshaun knows about the advantage from talking with Evie. And so we didn't get to follow Luvu back to camp after the challenge, but I got to think Deshaun is holding court and saying like, hey, Danny, hey, Sydney, listen, Nasir's got the idol.
Well, did Deshaun know what the phrases were? Did Evie tell him what they were?
I have to go back and watch that scene. I feel like Evie did say.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they definitely know that Nasir has the idol now. You know, but they're Nasir wants to work with them. Mm-hmm. I was interested that Danny decided he didn't want to work with Nasir because Nasir didn't want to throw the challenge. When last week, Danny didn't want to throw the challenge.
Yeah, but I did notice, you know, I think that we're seeing a lot of the survivors talking about, like, gender, how many men are in the game versus how many women are in the game. And I think that the guys on Luvu are thinking, like, okay, you see how many men are getting voted out of the game? Like, you know, maybe we shouldn't be throwing the challenge because we need to, like, protect our numbers. Although I'm not sure why that would be the argument for why they shouldn't throw the challenge.
I think that's why they should throw the challenge. Okay. So they could get rid of a woman.
Got it.
Specifically Erica.
Yeah, but no, they decided not to, even though Deshaun really wants to.
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is right, you know, like, go down a number. Although at this point, you know, with Uwa down to two people and Yasa is at four people, Luvu, if they're at six, you know, if they somehow manage to stay Luvu strong, could run the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, potentially, depending on who goes out in the next episode or two as we start to approach the merge, if, you know, things hold like we, you know, think they would in a normal Survivor season.
Yeah, I mean, I would be, if I'm in them, I'm like, we could pull this. I mean, six people to keep together is not too big a group, right? It's like, you know, when you have a tribe of eight or a tribe of 10, you're not going to be able to keep that whole tribe together. But six people actually is, you know, that's about the size of an alliance. An alliance is like five or six people. You should be able to keep it all together. Although I really like that point that Ricard made at Tribal Council about how, you know, extremely battle tested their little cohort was, you know, compared to all the other groups.
We'll be right back to take your questions here on tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls. But first, we have to thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Theragun, makers of the Theragun Gen 4. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body, whether you're an elite athlete like myself or someone just trying to make it through the day tension free, the Theragun can help. The Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it is as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, I particularly like it, especially after a day working over the computer, working on the podcast. That feels really good between your neck and your shoulders. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. It's got an OLED screen and design that makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. Whoa, just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. The Theragun is a big hit at my house. Of course, the first lady of podcasting has been known to overdo it in her workouts. It's great for hamstrings, calves, quads, that it will take care of any sort of muscle pain that you have. So it gets you back into the gym quicker and ready to do it all over again. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, and hundreds of thousands of customers and me. Try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to therabody.com/RJP right now to get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's therabody.com/RJP, therabody.com/RHAP. Now let's get back to Survivor Know-It-Alls. Let's start to bring in some questions from the listeners of the podcast, Stephen. And let's see what Annie Abrams wants to know. Stephen, have you ever thought about what would happen if there was a 1-1-1 vote?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. They're all immune.
I think they would, you know, well, I think,
draw?
Yeah, I think they would say, okay, it's a 1-1-1 vote, a revote. And then if we're deadlocked again, okay, now there's, you know, a bag of rocks.
Yeah, I think rock draw. That's my guess, too.
You know, somebody's...
It's an interesting question, though.
Somebody switch your vote, or you go to rocks. And I think that then you have multiple people potentially switching their votes.
And then they get 1-1-1 again.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone switches, but okay. The wrong way.
Stephen, what does our friend Eric Columbia have to say?
Eric wants to know, is there anyone who would have benefited more from a pre-merge swap than Shan? Everyone who meets her instantly loves her.
So Shan would have benefited from a swap. Well, I feel like that she did okay not having a swap, considering she picked up an extra vote and she picked up an immunity idol. It'll be interesting to see if she gets the extra vote back from Ricard before they have some sort of a tribe mix-up, if they end up not on the other teams. But, you know, Shan is super charismatic, that she probably would have been okay. But it'll be interesting to see, Steven, if she ends up in a group where she is not in the numbers, could she get targeted?
Nah.
You don't think so?
No one's coming for Shan.
I'm trying to think, what do the other players know about her? I mean, I think that really only Liana knows things about her. I guess it really would come down to if she ends up with a majority of Luvu, how they feel about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. You know,
I'm feeling good about her chances.
Shan's doing good. All right.
Yeah.
Sam Rawson wants to know, do you think that Xander has any way to survive now that Liana has the advantage to steal his idol? Do you think that Xander is in big trouble?
I do think Xander, I mean, is Xander being set up to be like the next boot? Like, not, I guess not the merge boot, but like, you know, I mean, he's so in trouble that I'm skeptical. Maybe he's not in trouble, you know, like he sure seems to be in trouble, but I think Xander's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Liana has really had her sights set on Xander from, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago that they opened the episode with her being upset that they didn't take the shot on Xander when they could have. She gets the advantage tonight, and the first thing she talks about is how, like, okay, now I can finally take down Xander. I think more troubling for Xander was the fact that Tiffany is telling us how she's totally out on Xander. And Xander, I think, is being a little naive in terms of thinking like, well, Tiffany works with troubled kids, so she's used to forgiving kids. And Tiffany's like, I hate him.
Yeah.
He's dead to
me. It sure seems like Xander is next to go. And again, like, it's so clearly foreshadowed that I hope he could
be saved by the swap.
Well, or something, yeah, because it's just like so much, you know. But you know, I guess just because something is being foreshadowed by the narrative doesn't mean it's not true.
Okay, Steven, how about a lengthy question?
I love a lengthy question.
Miss Juliet.
Juliet wants to know, if Ricard doesn't have to give back the extra vote to Shan, then can anyone go into someone's bag and steal an advantage? Does it have to have been willingly given to someone at some point?
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier, that it has to be given back, even though it was Shan's advantage that she foisted from JD, then she did give it to Ricard. So that's technically Ricard's advantage with the promise that he was supposed to give it back to her. He's just saying, yes, but when?
Well, no, I don't even think that's right. I think he now, because she gave it to him, he does not have to give it back. He can, you cannot right.
He promised he was going to give it back.
Right. Yeah. And as you know, with the new I promise advantage, someone has to stick to their promises.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You make any promise you want, and then the person has to keep it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll see. I do believe he will give it back. It's just a question of when will that happen? Okay. Ethan.
Right. Ethan wants to know, is Heather coming close to setting the record for the fewest number of immunity challenges competed in? By my count, she's only played in one.
I don't have those stats at my fingertips. I guess she played in the first immunity challenge, but it'll be something to watch. Steven, do you care about stuff like that?
I don't. Yeah. We were talking, you know, the other day about how we do think that, you know, everyone should have to compete a little bit, and mm-hmm. I do feel that way. You know, otherwise, how would we get such incredibly inspiring moments as last week's with Heather in the reward challenge? I think Gordon Holmes tweeted that he prefers reward challenges to Shipwheel Island. I do too. Shipwheel Island is a dud for me. I don't think it's, I mean, this was a great episode for it. The bond between Shan and Liana was really strong. The actual mechanic of the like wheel is not going anywhere. Like, let's lose it.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Reward challenges are fun. We get to see another challenge. We get to, like, you know, I know you're not a huge fan of the reward challenge.
The reward challenge is just like, is nothing to me. I'm indifferent to the reward challenge. Like, I feel like that while I don't like Shipwheel Island, I don't like the mechanic, I do like that we are getting the scene with Liana and Shan bonding, and that feels important. That feels like that's going to have ramifications. I like that we didn't swap the tribes and we have sort of these cross-tribal alliances. So I like that we're getting that as opposed to the reward challenge, that it just feels like it's taking up 7 minutes.
This was one good scene, but most of the scenes at Shipwheel Island have not been good. The one with Evie was decently good. But most of them are, you know, what was the one with, you know, with Sydney where and then Brad and Tiffany, right?
Where there was some tension, Tiffany, at least, like and maybe that we might see where Tiffany and Sydney, if they end up on the same tribe, there could be some friction there. Again, it's just like that the reward challenge. I mean, what happened in the reward challenge last week? We saw like Heather, you know, couldn't make you know, everybody cheered on Heather. It was nice to watch, but is that an important part of the story?
I mean, to me, the challenges are a part of Survivor. I mean, as you know, as counterintuitive be for me to say that.
That's always been your prerogative, right?
Well, yeah. No, but I mean, like seeing like people, you know, comment on The View every week, we have to hear about how nice The View is. Like, I'm not there. I don't
care. Oh, I thought you were talking about the morning daytime TV show of people commenting on The View. I'm like, what are they saying about Survivor?
No, every single time. Oh, this is such a walk. Oh my God, what a hard walk. Oh, what have you? And then they have the same stupid conversation like about the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, who cares? It has not, I'm retire so the
wheel.
Bored by it.
The wheel is broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Steven, we got the results back from our flash poll on Instagram. Do you like the knowledge is power advantage? What percentage of the audience do you think said no?
I think 85%.
85%. You're actually a bit high.
Wow, a whole quarter of the audience likes it.
Yes, 76% said no. 24% of the people said they do like it.
That's interesting. Well, 24% of your listeners are wrong.
Some people just like the chaos.
Yeah, I did see, I mean, like a lot, some people on Twitter were suggesting that, you know, stop paying so much attention, Fishback, to the question of lying. It's more about the mechanic of stealing someone's idol. You know, this like you can't lie thing is neither here nor there. It's more like you have to give me your idol, which that's, you know, more interesting, I guess, like than like you can't lie about it. I don't know. I mean, it's I don't know. I think there's better ways to implement this is my overall point.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like to steal an idol. I mean, I guess I'm open to steal an idol. I just don't like the way this is being implemented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know, like maybe there's a different way they could do it of like tell the players they have to keep their idols and advantages like in their bag at Tribal Council. And then you get to open the bag and we get like a scene of like the players like rummaging through. They're like, all right, let me see that bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That might be a little less clumsy than if you have to lie or not. Okay.
The Alan Ball advantage, you can force one player to strip down.
Whoa. Okay. I think we're probably not going to go with that. All right. Steven, Rihanna B says, can we expect another advantage get in this season like we did in Game Changer? All these advantages and idols floating around.
I mean, something's got to like happen at the, there's a lot of extra votes out there, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff out there. Is it all going to happen in one tribal council at the final six? Potentially. I do think it's probably more likely that, you know, there's like some vote. It's like the final nine and one person, like one person plays an advantage. And then we just have like the waterfall of all the advantages. I don't think it might necessarily be at the last night you can play all the advantages.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think the show liked advantage get. And I think that, you know, we have on good authority that they thought it was cool.
What we do?
Yeah.
Who?
I think that Jeff has talked about that. That was a great moment.
I mean, just because something is like talked about does not make it a big, like a great moment. You know, some of the worst things in history are talked about a lot.
I didn't say that I thought it was a great moment, but I do think that Jeff has said in interviews that that was like such a like a great moment.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you can, this is the problem, right? It's like if we just create like horrible circumstances that defy the fundamental premise of the game, mm-hmm. they will be explosive because it will be a big deal because it will scuttle everyone's plans and the characters and fandom will be, you know, in an uproar about it.
People
it will
like create explosions. Like
a water cooler moment. like, you know, in the sense of like people like knocking over their water coolers and rage.
Yeah.
That's what I do with my water cooler when I get upset.
Yeah. you punch it.
Well, then it falls over because of like my superpowered punch.
Mm-hmm. Steven, anything else Survivor 41 that you want to mention tonight?
Yeah, it's a fantastic cast. It's a fantastic cast. I think like when you're looking at this cast and you're thinking, you know, who could they potentially ask back for a future season? I mean, it's like fully, I mean, I think easily Shan for sure, right? Ricard, Nasir, Evie, Deshaun, Sydney.
Bring them all back.
JD.
Yep.
Brad. I think, you know, maybe Liana, Danny, Heather, Xander. Like how many
you're going
people
full T-Bird right now?
8, 9, 10, 11. I think I listed 12 out of the 18 players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's an all-time like first
we probably have not even said it enough. It's an incredible cast. They did a great job finding this cast. So kudos to Jesse Tannenbaum and the whole Survivor production team on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Steven, let me tell you what else is coming up here as we cover week 5 of Survivor 41 exit interview with Jeannie. We'll find out what the real story was over there on UWA and see if Jeannie has anything else fun to share with us on this week's exit interview. Then on Thursday, I'll be catching up with the great Davey Rickenbacker on the podcast. So I'm very excited to catch up with Davey. If anybody is wondering,
where is Dave?
He'll be on RHAP this Thursday.
Hmm.
There you go. All right. Jay Skeets, you know, a longtime listener of the Survivor Know-It-Alls podcast, NBA podcaster extraordinaire, host of the No Buffs Survivor podcast. We will get to chat, and you will hear that coming up on Friday this week on Rob Has a Podcast. Looking forward to that one. And then Haley Strong will be joining us for our feedback show this week. So get your feedback questions in. We'll have a lot of fun with Haley Strong, of course, co-host of the Bachelor Rehap Up, or the Bachelorette Rehap Up, I should say, as the Bachelorette kicks off a new season this week. This Monday night, Survivor 41 patron Q&A. I take live calls from the patrons. Patrons coming in hot. Lots of questions about what's going on. Kevin and Nigel will be with me live Monday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, robinsonwebsite.com/patron for access to that. Then the wand off is back, Steven.
Woo!
Yes. So Josh, myself, Casey Kasem, Wanda, all ready to go, listening to the greatest competition known to me. Although not a competition this season. We'll be counting down the top 10 song parodies, Survivor song parodies in the land. On this week's Wandoff, send in your Wandoff submissions to wandoff@robhasawebsite.com by Friday night to get them into the show. And then, of course, check out Why Blank Lost, as David and Jessica will tell us. Did Jeannie follow the rules? What do you think, Steven?
I'm guessing no.
Yeah. I don't think she was doing enough scheming and plotting. If I had to guess. Sneak preview. Catch Why Blank Lost this week on the RHAP B&B. Oh, the great Asia Welch will join Mike and Liana to play some games this week on the RHAP B&B as part of our Survivor coverage of week number 5. And then Shannon Gus will be catching up with one of the great Australian survivors, Pia. We'll join Shannon to talk about everything going on in week number 5 of Survivor 41. See if who Pia is liking. And then check this out. Brendan the actor is back on the Survivor Stock Watch with Taryn Armstrong. The great Brendan Meyer will be back live with Taryn Armstrong live on Thursday. I believe that's coming up live at 7 p.m. Eastern. Let me make sure that we have that right as we go along here. So check that out. So another jam-packed week of Survivor coverage here on RHAP. Steven,
he's on the OWA?
Yes, yes, you're right.
You think he likes UWA?
UWA, we'll find out. Is that UWA or UWA? Yeah.
Yeah.
Steven, you ever watch the Great British Baking Show?
I had not this season, but I do. We do love the baking show in my house.
It's a lot of fun. I got to cover season 9 on Nothing But Netflix. No, well, it's only 4 episodes in. They actually drop one episode a week for a Netflix show, which is very unusual. And I've covered it, of course. Chappelle and I every week are covering Nothing But Netflix on the brand new Nothing But Netflix podcast. Haley Strong and Kurt Clark joined us to talk about the Great British Baking Show that is up on Rob's website. .com. That was a lot of fun. Of course, so much going on over on Patreon, where, of course, we're taking your questions. We're getting you early access to the ad-free feedback show every week. And, of course, Nicole joins me for the patron 5 for 5. We'll also have new patron orientation coming up this Tuesday night. So hope you can join us there for that at robiswebsite.com/patron. Of course, everything is looking nice and fresh with some new merch over at robswebsite.com/merch. We've got the RHAP bag of tricks.
That's really Halloween. Fun. I love that bag of tricks. That's yeah. What's in there? Can you help me?
You want to go full screen? You can check it out at robswebsite.com/merch. And also check out the RHAP bucket hat. Yeah, we've got like a torch, a microphone, an amazing race clue.
Key, like the Big Brother key.
Yeah, all the shows. robinswebsite.com/merch
That's check quite out good. Everything.
Yeah.
That's a great shirt.
Of course, hit that subscribe button if you're watching us on YouTube, or go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe to get all the different ways to subscribe to the audio version of Robin's podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And of course, follow us on social media at Robin's Podcast on Twitter and on our Instagram page at RHAP Grams. So many Survivor or RHAP podcasters, including Stephen Fishback, recorded beautiful birthday messages for me.
Was mine particularly beautiful?
But Stephen's, I think, was the most touching and sincere. Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Stephen. I think you really just blew everybody else out of the water with your beautiful message today, Stephen. Appreciate that so much. Of course, check them all out at RHAP Grams on Instagram. Of course, check us out on TikTok as well. All right.
Hey, Rob, how is your birthday? I mean, how are you going to close it down after this?
How am I going to close it down? So I'm going to then join the First Lady of Podcasting. We're going to maybe watch a show.
Oh.
After this. I was out at the North Carolina State Fair today.
Oh, did you get a candy covered apple?
I didn't. I got some kettle corn.
Oh, kettle corn.
Yeah.
What about a fried Oreo?
Oh, they had it. They had it all.
Did the kids get anything fun?
They got Italian ices. Mm. The world's, I think they tried, it was the world's most expensive Italian ices.
Yeah. Did you go on any rides?
I did. I went on a couple of rides. I went on a roller coaster with Dominic. He was very nervous, but he got through it.
Was it his first roller coaster?
Yeah. So he was
so cool.
He was, yeah, it was, there were high highs and low lows, Stephen. As you begin taking, you know, family trips, you will experience too, what it's like of the, like, you know, the agony and the ecstasy of, family activities.
Yeah. Well, Rob, it is truly, I'm so happy to be here to celebrate your birthday. You are, you know, great guy.
Yes, thank you. Stephen, all right. Stephen, thank you so much. Anything else?
No, this is it. That's it. Fishy.
Oh.
People want to know. Okay. I guess Shan, right? Who, like, you know, is able to do everything. You know, she's totally in charge of her tribe. She gets rid of Jeannie. She keeps Ricard. She gets the immunity idol, you know.
Okay.
Shan.
All right.
Yeah.
Stephen, great job once again. Take care of
Nasir. Gets the fishy this week.
Oh. Just,
you know, great job with, you know, the fake out. He perfectly integrated his thing at the. Oh, we didn't talk about the fun stuff on the Luvu tribe, which you know, where I really like the way that they intercut back and forth between all the different people. You know, you have Danny talking about his alliance with Nasir, and then Nasir's like, I really think I'm in with those guys. It's so great. And then Danny's like, I don't want to work with Nasir.
Mm-hmm.
That was very well done.
Yeah. The editors maybe should get the fishy.
Editors, fishy for you. I thought I wasn't allowed to do that.
You could do whatever you want. It's your award.
That was my argument, but I was told no.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do. I mean, I think awards are arbitrary and reductive, but it's your thing.
Not this award. This is a beautiful award.
All right. Steven, thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye. Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see what you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.